They can't be Jim and Yeti. They can't be Donna Radio.
We have Doug here.
Doug, the other Bob. Bob Jr.? And it's very appropriate that he is here tonight because...
Am I your adopted son, Bob?
What?
Am I your adopted son?
No.
Just Bob Jr.?
Adopted. You're going to be Bob's replacement. You're not a son. You're an understudy.
Okay. Welcome to another edition of the Church of the Subgenius Radio. Might only be a half hour tonight. We'll see how things go. Trim things down a little.
Yeah, based up budget cuts. He is demanding a certain standard of pace if it's not kept.
Did you like the sound of that cassette that went on our brand new Sony cassette deck?
Nice cassette deck. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is.
We bring in high tech and we get cut back.
Still we have to jiggle the headphones every show.
Yeah, that's, we're sort of retrieval, the pre-Raphaelite, right? Okay. And we're in the handicraft and medieval zone, and when they bring in the decentralizing and bloating high tech, we're left to them. Holding the bag, so to speak.
So to speak.
Holding the bag. That resonates, isn't it?
My name is Michael Dyer. I'm here tonight with Doug Nicholson.
And sure you are. Yeah, you would have been.
I'm your radio technician.
So the time's running out. With Mike. Did you say something about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're talking to him. Are we allowed to talk about it, Mike? Is it a part of your on-air persona?
I don't think it's relevant to what we're
good. You just pointed out to me privately.
Yes, but I'm different. From
Mike is dieting. Mike is different. Now, the point...
He's dire.
Yeah. You know, Patsy Cline died on a plane that left Dyersburg.
Really?
In,
you brought this up already.
What's that?
You brought this up already.
Yeah, I'm... This is privately. No, this was not brought up on air.
And one of her
he's lying. He's getting budget cuts. This is a definitely different mic. I mean, we have a responsible mic.
I got this on tape. You brought this out on tape.
I told you.
But one of her greatest songs was written by Willie Nelson.
That's right.
Yeah. Whose real name was Willie Dyer.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Doug, it's important that you're here because...
You shouldn't just address Doug. You should address our general listening audience as well.
Yes, that's right. But there are many Dougs in the audience.
Oh, so you're necessarily...
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Don't take everything so literally, Mike. Just because I'm in front
I still
of
have
you.
A lot to learn. Yeah. A long way to go.
Well, the thing is that Doug here, though, always seems to come at the right point. He came as a potential substitute in case Mike was overworked, but Mike got here and we're okay. Now, here's the point, though. We have a blockbuster show tonight, and it's funny that we have to work under a pressured sense of time because... Mike is saying the church members in our audience are not responding fast enough or creating a quick enough pace for his sense of postmodern acoustic kinetic tactility, you know. So we hope the listeners out there, they can start phoning now. I do have a couple things to say, but the number is 595-14.
That's my point. I just thought that, you know, we could have a better, more intense show in a half an hour than dragging things up for a half hour when you're... going through your book. Well, okay, no phone calls.
Turn to page 44.
Yeah, well, I'll find something, Mike. We'll talk about it. I would much rather, you know, we live in an era where people can only take, you know, 2 minutes of information at any given time. So we have to shift.
Exactly. An era where the Rolling Stones video has over 200 cuts in it, I think.
Yeah, and that's a big assumption by Mike that we live. I mean, those two words are highly doting. Right?
So I think not in the currently popular vernacular, not in the Bob vernacular.
Right. It's not correct. It's not scientific. He's only making, not matching. All right. The agenda tonight is that we're...
Are you ready for a phone call?
No. Is it ringing?
Premature?
Oh, no. Yeah, let them ring. Let them line up. But I do have some things to say. I mean, the point is that
Doctors for Bob, the headquarters, are being audited today. All right? So if the Pinks are going to put the pressure on my associates, and indirectly myself, then I've got to up the ante. So I've asked Bob Marshall to release some important information this Sunday. I will explain a little later, but we do offer, for those people who can stay up, a preview of the information released on this Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning on Kent Carey's show, or Kent Carey before 2 o'clock. Kent Carey's show will feature approximately a half-hour interview on the topic of AIDS. I am going to blow it. Now, do you remember, Mike, in, I'd say...
You're not going to blow it.
Yeah,
Bob Marshall's going to blow it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, keep me separated from him. When was it, Mike? It was the beginning of this year. No, I remember. 18 months ago, Mike, you thought that AIDS was on everybody's mind, and you asked me to comment on or give the lowdown from Secret Council 10's perspective what is the true story of the AIDS virus. And remember, I put that off. I backed off on that. I said it's not time to reveal that.
You alluded to it, but in an abstract manner, if I remember.
No, that was 9 months ago. I'm talking about a year and a half ago when you first brought it up. Then, in January, I told you we were in for an exciting year, 1989, and that Bob Marshall was going to give something to CKLN and be associated with CKLN that would put CKLN on the world map. You remember me saying that? And I gave a little fairy tale of how this would manifest or unfold. Well, it's going to happen this week. It's going to happen for those late-night people who won't be able to listen on Sunday morning, tonight at 2. Oh, let's say 10 after 2 after we play some Skolnick. And then it's going to happen next Sunday morning at 10, and then it's going to repeat it the following Sunday. Basically, what it is, and I'll read from the press release put out by Bob Marshall, the International Connection will present for the public's consideration an interview with a man who claims to have observed the activities of a group of people who, he claims, created an artificial AIDS virus which was injected into the native population of a particular area in Africa under the cover of the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, smallpox inoculation program in the 1970s. The purpose of this broadcast is not to distract from the efforts of citizen groups to educate and raise funds for the victims of the AIDS crisis, but to present a well-articulated point of view which explains the AIDS epidemic in the context of a larger, still ongoing military agenda. This man claims that later HIV viruses will be shown to have mutated into a less virulent form, and not for the reasons they're going to give you, which is that through better drugs and better care, they've brought it down in virulence, but the fact that the HIV virus was designed to become less virulent in a military setting. So as the virus was originally designed, as this was originally designed in the artificial AIDS virus, is the reason why it would mutate. The interview was conducted in September 1988, and I was asked to wait. This is Bob Marshall speaking and giving his press release. And Bob Marshall was asked to wait and see if certain information surfaced in the media. Three articles that appeared in the last 12 months are attached to this press release. The third article, a letter to Congress from Samuel Evans of Philadelphia. He is the chairman of the National Council of Public Auditors. The third article has now expanded into a conference to be held from November 27th to the 29th, 1989, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Holiday Inn, 18th Street and Market Street. This conference has been officially endorsed by the Organization of African Unity. Very big organization. Mr. Evans can be reached at the phone number 215-854-1470. If anybody wants the details, they can either tape this or call me later. Michael Myers' book, which is relevant to this conference, can be purchased from the Edwin Mellon Press. The phone number is 716-754-8566. That's what Bob Marshall has to say via me. Now, the other thing is, considering that Doctor for Bob is being audited today, and this was sprung on Connie and her associates just 2 weeks ago, after the last show we did. What did I talk about? Can we remember? No, but must have got them mad. The other thing, there are two things coming up. We have Doug here who probably went to the Festival of Ancient Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to a couple of films?
I went to 8.5 films.
Did you go to Sex, Lies, and Videotape?
No, I didn't.
Good. All right. Mike, did you go to that, Sex, Lies, and Videotape? All right.
No.
Good. That will be talked about later. But the thing is that Doug is here, and Doug is one of the few people I know who has read Laws of Media. He read it last Christmas, and that is very relevant to what we're going to do. We're escalating our programming here. We are no longer going to just have the pseudo-exes talking to us. We have direct contact now that can be taped with the original exes that landed in February 88, in that early 88 period, and helped me become chairman of Cedar Council 10. Now, these, I don't want to take up too much time because there's much pressing business to be discussed over the phone. But I think the fact that today, that so much today, September 20th, is being discussed about Russia, about the conference, the first time today such proceedings of the Central Committee were broadcast and featured arguments of the various members with each other right on TV with the issue about what to do with the rising sense of tribal national identity and the way of preserving the Soviet Empire, right? That was a big topic today. And an ongoing topic over the last 3 weeks has been the Berlin, the escape, I guess, of the refugees in Berlin, from East Berlin or East Germany over to West Berlin, West Germany. And the Berlin Wall is an issue. Now, Bob's going to make a prediction here. The Berlin Wall will come down before Christmas, and it will be rubble collapsing on the grave of Mr. Honecker, the
who's dying
and is the leader of East Germany at this point. Now, the exes have commented on Honecker and the Berlin Wall in the upcoming tape, and they comment on the Tetrad. The amazing thing is that Martin McLuhan has been a lot more important than people realized. So I think that's, was there anything else? So Honecker, when you hear the word Honecker in the tape, it refers to the ailing head of East Germany. And the Tetrad is something we've discussed much over the last year on this show. And as you listen, remember that Bob Woman, who succeeds Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man, another name for Bob Woman is Interval Man. So resonate on the Interval Man and what he did and what he will present as you listen to the Exes tell us the latest news from their point of view since they've arrived here.
They are very interesting algorithms because they are, in many ways, the users of McLuhan's research. And some of that research that has been done by the younger McLuhan.
Here?
Yes. His patterns, they're very close to the Defense Department of Baltimore's work.
The Tetrad?
Yes.
When did they start using Eric's
Tetrad? No, they arrived at the same conclusion.
In the 80s, 70s?
In 86, 87.
And then the book came out in 88?
Yes.
Yes. Or 87 or 88, I can't remember.
But the point is that the Defense Department worked with their algorithms, and they're very close to Eric's algorithms, and Eric's algorithms are very close to theirs. The Soviets were working on exactly the same thing, but they could not put in certain factors because they did not realize that certain factors could exist in their own country. But when they, because there has been that radical change in the past 18 months, they began to realize that the Department of Defense algorithms were more apt for their own country than they originally realized. Which means that there will be an Estonian flag, everyone will be waving, the Latvian flag, everyone will be waving, the Baltic states will be all waving their own flags. At the same time, each one will sign non-aggression treaty trade agreements with the Soviet Union, mutual defense, mutual everything. Everyone come out and in truth, smelling of roses.
Are these algorithms algebraic?
They're algebraic and they're sociocratic.
They use human movement as terms.
As terms, yes.
It's not just let X equal Y stuff.
No.
They're using the tethers. They're saying certain things will be retrieved, certain things will be obsolete, certain things flip, they're not an extent.
Exactly.
So when did they... So they discovered this in the 86, 87, the defense department.
They had, of course, other algorithms before.
So they didn't know McLuhan was doing this.
No.
Then they find out the book is released, and they say, well, he knew what we've been trying to find out.
And many of them said he phrased it better.
And is there a concerted effort to popularize McLuhan now because of this?
In actuality, McLuhan was surprisingly suppressed.
In the 70s,
because McLuhan was seen as an advertising man that applied to commercial, not with systems per se. It was only those who understood systemologies and systems, they understood McLuhan. But what is happening is the reissuance of McLuhan, and what makes it so interesting is that McLuhan's book, The Mechanical Bride, Book on Medias, all of these are going to be fully translated in the Soviet Union and will be required reading for those in management systems. The Defense Department of the United States, especially the political division, works upon certain computer models that say, once again, scenarios. What happens if there is a radical change in a country? What happens to that aspect called polarization? Of course, some will, some won't, some don't care. But when you have a very small don't care situation, such as East Germany, you have some will, some won't. Those who won't, will they polarize with those who will? The USSR itself, at this present time, is being managed, too, because Gorbachev knows of these algorithms, which have been shared to his staff by the United States, that if a certain thing is carried on at a certain pace, you can expect this and expect that. But if you rush it, then you get this. If you give it too long, you get that. The sociological movement of change models designed by the United States are being used by the Soviet Union. That is why you will find that, yes, there will be considerable unrest, but in the satellites, that it is managed unrest. If it went too fast, you'll find that there will be rioting. If you go too slow, there is rioting. But if it's done at the right pace, you'll find that it acts as a safety valve across a number of months so that change can be then instituted. Oftentimes, the analog says that it must have a pivotal point upon which the populace can focus so that they will then accept change. That is another analog, another algorithm. Honecker dying is the pivotal point as far as the East German Democratic Republic is concerned.
And the sociological analogs, were they first discovered or invented by the U.S. Defense Department?
They were, yes.
And Gorbachev bought it from them, traded or surveilled it?
First to stole.
All right, so they're using what the U.S. Defense Department already owns.
Yes, they first stole. Then Bush offered. Gorbachev said, he uses a very interesting patronymic with the president. He calls him Mr. President, which is the accepted term. But he also calls him Georgiev. son of George, which of course he's not. But it is also used as a term of surprising close friends, a friendship between two individuals. When Bush offered, Bush knew that Gorbachev had. Gorbachev knew that he had the older versions and would get the updated versions. So therefore, he said to the President Bush, I have the older versions. I would be very pleased to have the newer versions, which put everyone same face.
Well, I think the intelligence of the Axis is manifest immediately, isn't it?
Let's hope so.
Well, what you have here is information, I mean, you know, private terms of endearment that passed between Gorbachev and Bush. I mean, the United States government puts in, what, $1 billion into intelligence research? RCMP probably has a lot of money. CSIS has a lot of money to find out what's going on, and you get it here for nothing within half an hour. You get the probably better information than you get from any government-funded intelligence agency here with Bob.
Information clearinghouse.
That's right. Well, of course, I'm creating a lot of the information on a global scale because I am chairman of the Soviet government. Mike, you look like you'd like to respond? No, Mike does not want to respond. I think anybody who heard that would be impressed with the quality of...
Bob, you don't have to slap yourself in the back.
Well, it wasn't me. I'm talking about the Hexes. I'm trying to give someone else in the universe some compliments. What?
With the material you provide. It's not necessary to praise it.
Oh, okay.
We appreciate it. That's why you're here every second.
So the interesting thing is that, you know, I talk about entertainment as a military operation, and people think maybe Bob's entertainment, but he stresses the tetrad. And all you Dougs out there listening know that the tetrad is now a military operation. What do you think of that? That is incredible.
So they've taken what McLuhan did as a process of insight and turned it into a process of...
media ecology.
You think they're using it for media ecology?
No, media ecology, which is a form of management. We could call it...
No, but the Americans, Russian... The American government, Russian government, are they using it as media ecology, or is they use, or are they using it as a form of personal ecology, I guess, maybe, to better themselves and leave
The
others in the compost heap?
Well, they certainly are, we can use the term media ecology, they are doing image management, all right? That's media ecology.
Image management, you said?
Image management. The thing is that we have just heard how the Pinks do media ecology. That is not what I do here. It is approximation, but it does not have the charisma of subgeniushood. All right, so it is media ecology, but not subgenius media ecology or Bob form. All right? Do we have any callers? 595-1478?
We've had a few, but they've scattered.
Okay, good.
Well, yes, we can encourage phone calls if anyone has a question.
Yeah, time's running out.
For Bob or for Bob Jr., the number is 595-1478.
Do we need to talk about sex, lies, and videotape?
It's been a pretty heavy show so far, though.
I think we better.
Head,
I had a question. Or I wanted to bring something up.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I can't remember exactly to the day or to the month how long ago Robert Campo bought the company that owns Bloomingdale's.
It was a year ago.
Yeah. Okay, and now it's well known the financial difficulties he's had trying to pay off the huge debt, all the money he borrowed to make the acquisition. At the time, Bob, or very close to the time, I remember you saying that the Rothschilds were
through the Reichmans
financing Campo. Now today, front cover of the business section of the Star, it says the Rothschilds are on the board of governors for the Campos, as well as our good friend, Mr. Conrad Black.
And where's Campo?
He's kind of become like a prime minister, the guy whose picture they put in the paper, but you never see him.
Well, the thing is that you have a holding action by the...
My roommate, Dave.
So you're saying that I was right?
I'm saying, yeah, Bob. I mean, it took a year. Pattern recognition played out.
I would say it was earlier this year. Maybe only 9 months ago.
I can't remember what happened. That's
within 12 months.
Different note. This note, Dave, my roommate, who gets credit anytime you bring something up, says, now the Reichmans, we're going to back Cineplex, Garth Drabinski. Then they back out. Now was it because they knew what was coming with Campo and they wanted to hop on the Board of Governors, or is it a greater thing to do with the Festival of...
No. It basically, with the Russian and Rockefeller Alliance through Bush, since Bush has come in...
Where was it I read that? Four of the Rockefeller grandchildren have business, like own and operate businesses in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's right. They've been doing that for the last 8 years, building that up. Because they gave up America in the early 80s, in the middle 80s, because the Bolsheviks took over. But George Bush represents the comeback of the Rockefeller-Russian alliance. And recently, Frank Zappa said that he's a little angry at Bush because his image is that of a caretaker government. He doesn't seem to be doing anything, momentum.
Yeah.
And no momentum happening. And why is that? Because you've got this. Many of the events have happened this year. The busting of Jim Bakker, the drug wars in Colombia, are a realignment of the Rockefeller-Russian power group in the White House, moving up the Bolshevik power structure.
All this thing happening at once.
And all this topsy-turvy.
Colombia,
Cineplex, it's related.
Cineplex, I mean...
Yeah, for Canadians, we're seeing a reflection of the Colombian drug wars through the Campo War and the Cineplex War, Drabinski. What you have here is Canada's Bolshevik control, and also the Star Scandal is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Peterson shakeup. And my old, high school, junior high school buddy, Christine Hart, moved in.
Hijacked her high school reunion.
You heard that one, eh? That was a good one. So Christine Hart, now the Minister of Culture, is sent in maybe by British intelligence from Nova Scotia. And you have the Donald Marshall case there, too, you know. So the thing is that you're seeing an attempt by the Rockefeller faction in Canada moving in to upset the Bolshevik control. And therefore, I would see Campo as caught between a rock and a hard place, caught between this battle, and the Reichmans are just holding the fort. They've moved in, taken over, but they're still under siege.
Now, Conrad is in alliance with the Reichmans. He seems to
walk
hand in hand.
On the public level, as one of our callers, regular callers, pointed out a long time ago, a few months ago, when they had the Hollinger meeting on June 22nd.
22
directors.
Including Mr. Henry Kissinger.
And who was there? The several British people and Kissinger.
Yeah, Thompson? Is it Thompson?
And the Reichmans. But you have Kissinger and Reichmans. Actually, on that level, it's quite mixed up. You can't tell who's the Rockefeller, who's the Rothschild, right?
And they could all be duplicates anyhow.
That's right. So you're not going to know by analyzing that kind of public information. You just have to know the pattern that was set 10 years ago, laid out by Dr. Beter, and the rest is mud. That's why the Perfect Pitch has the quote from Marshall McLuhan's take today, the fifth element is mud. It's been mud all through the 80s. And that brings us to sex, lies, and videotape. Have I answered enough? Just to look at this jostling about Campo and Mattinger and Drabinski is a temporary thrust by Bush out of the White House. And we don't know if he can maintain the momentum.
Now, Bush hasn't been seen much because he's on summer vacation in Maine, going fishing with Brian, and I noticed that Brian and there was someone else who came to visit him. He gives them sweaters, and he wears the same sweater, and they look like sort of identical twins. Now, Mulroney hasn't been seen for a while. Is everyone sort of disappearing until
some things are settled?
Until, like, East Germany is settled, the Colombian drug wars are settled.
Meech Lake. All these things.
Very small potatoes, so
to speak. I think those sweaters have some kind of bob technology in them. I think they are wired. You know, the fabric of the sweater just...
Those wool sweaters?
Yeah. That they keep whoever Bush gives it to them under surveillance, you know. And Bush doesn't know. Mulroney doesn't know this. But how does this mud of the 80s, how do you relate that to the biggest push right now for an ancient technology, the movie? I mean, the Festival of Festivals is dealing with an ancient technology. I mean, just now they're presenting high-definition TV, which is going to alter the whole thing. Nobody's offering a tetrade on it, though. Just CBC just promoting it and predicting
the changes. Well, actually, at the corner of Yonge and Bloor, there's an eyeglass shop right near the Pomo clock, and I thought it was... They had two HD high-definition televisions, one which is proportioned to a movie screen and the other one which is a normal proportion TV.
Right.
And they had it in an eyeglass shop, so get your new eyes.
Yeah, it is. Well, high-definition is not low-definition, so we're going to have a resurgence, again, of visual values.
Mm-hmm.
This will lead to even a more conservative, entrepreneurial country.
Down the street also, almost to the Avenue Road University area, there was a clothing store, buy your new clothes, with a grid of, I think, about 25, 30 small Sony TVs, about an inch and a half by 3 inches. So Sony was really pushing the new visual technology.
Right. Well, as Drabinsky tried to turn the movie phenomenon into a TV experience by making the screen smaller. And so TV answers with a bigger screen and high definition. But with the muddy zone that Ronald Reagan expressed as an image of the 80s, you have the climax? The
denouement?
The denouement, right. The denouement. The denouement is, for the 80s, is sex, lies, and videotape. Not as something profound, but as a symptom of what people need. Now, if you in the movie, for those who've seen it, it shows the process and interplay of four people. It is the tetrad process right there. You take one character, enhance their problems, or character to obsolescence. Another character retrieves the third character, and when that character, the original, is pushed to the extreme, that character flips into the fourth one. So there is a tetrad process. And the thing is, it's presented as ambiguity. The ambiguity is not the present. The present is clear, because I'm on the air, and much has happened since I've become Secret Council 10. I mean, the world does have a sense of optimism, purpose, and direction since March 88. That we have out of the zone of ambiguity. We're seeing ambiguity within the old media and power battles. But the value of Reagan's image was he was the image of ambiguity. For example, in American mythology, Washington couldn't lie. George Washington couldn't lie, and Nixon didn't tell the truth, and Ronald Reagan didn't know the difference. Right? Ambiguity. Now, he represents the image of ambiguity, but again, it is a nostalgic image. It is a nostalgic image because the hidden ground of the 80s was me and my clarity. So, sex, lies, and videotape offers people a reflection, and this shows how it is a military operation. It is perfectly in consonance with the Reagan image, in that it is hoiking up a nostalgic form, ambiguity, in a tetradic form as a movie version of the TV tetrad of Ronald Reagan, the TV image. And that's sex, lies, and videotape. So even the director of it, if you read any interviews with him, he doesn't understand why his movie is that popular. He doesn't understand that he struck a chord subconsciously, but a nostalgic chord. He's not the artist. He's not telling the present. He's not giving a sense of perfect pitch. Only that can be gotten here.
So he's pink?
No. He is a subgenius. Anybody who can do that when they're 26. And remember, Orson Welles made his big impact when he's 26. If you notice, the number 26 appears in a lot of young, great artists. That's where they really peak. When they're 26, they burst on the scene. He's 26, so that's very important. And much happened to me when I was 26, which was in the 40s. I made a lot of money illegally when I was 26.
I'll be 26 in a few weeks, Bob.
See, Doug's always here at the right time. Mm-hmm. It's your year. So we ain't getting any calls. 595-1478.
We are. I've just been ignoring them because they've been saying a lot.
That's right. There have been some, but nothing now.
Well, not at this very moment, no. But
Mike, you've got some literature. You want to talk?
No, I don't want to talk. I'm just reading while you're talking.
Okay, well, we do have a call indirectly. Dave has sent us some more information. Now, here is what Dave, who is a regular listener and contributes questions usually by envelope. But here is his statement. He goes under the title, Bartering with Bob. Under solo electric autonomous global theatrical communist computerized software satellite discarnate island Bob conditions, he suggests these themes for a dialogue on future shows. One, User as content is a relative term. Every person makes their own personal message according to their relative states of awareness, is what Dave's saying, within levels of awareness. This is in accord with the law of evolution, which establishes inequality in all beings in their continued efforts of unfoldment. All right. He says, he suggests that's theme for discussion. No need for discussion, because I agree with it completely. He's asking for matching.
Scratch it.
Maybe he's not asking for matching, but I agree with it. There's no room for dialogue.
Scratch it, Paul. Scratch it.
Not enough interplay. His second point. It could be argued that by amalgamating Marshall McLuhan into one of Bob Dobb's holy offices, along with Zappa, this is the ultimate user as content. Then again, quote, theft is the lifeblood of art. He's quoting Peter Gabriel, one of Dave's holy offices. Again, I agree with that completely. Nothing to argue, nothing to discuss.
Plagiarism is very hip.
Yeah. The third topic he suggests for a dialogue, which must have an element of making to create the interplay of dialogue. He says, my user as content conclusion on the phrases comprehensive awareness and pattern recognition, which I use, is synonymous with, quote, enlarged perception or topographic consciousness, which has nothing to do with personal opinions or emotional reactions, i.e., it is spiritual. The resonating light sound life force is not electromagnetic or reflective in the higher levels, but has a certain as-isness that can only be experienced or hinted at. It becomes electromagnetic only when encountering the ionosphere in the material level or the mental realm on the psychic level. Hence, the electric environment is part of an overall conspiracy. He is in brackets, conscious evil, that's how he defines conspiracy. This conspiracy is to trap souls within these areas as long as possible. He says, in brackets, however, the liberating principle is here now. I have no disagreement with that. I agree 100% with that statement. No room for dialogue. So he says, thanks for your percepts, Bob. And he has in brackets, he defines percepts as food for contemplation. Signed Dave. Excellent letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we can't talk about it. So.
Nothing doesn't stimulate much dialogue. It's too obvious, too straightforward, and... Sun Yat-sen in 1919. Bob's number is 19, so Sun Yat-sen must mean something. And, of course, Frank quit music 19 years after he met Bob in 1970. So, I still aren't getting... no talk about how Frank Zappa kineticizes visual and acoustic space, Marshall McLuhan tactilizes visual and acoustic space, and Lyndon LaRouche acousticizes visual and kinetic space. There's been no response on that one.
No.
Maybe it's too much of a matching statement.
I think I have a sense tonight that people have been at home. People are listening now. And I think with the first couple of topics of the show, I think people are just...
speculating. Yeah, I think that it was such a heavy escalation we've offered tonight that people are going to have to sit back and figure out how to respond. What with such incredible access knowledge, direct access to my interviews and... personal consultations with them, because I am the interplay between the Exus attempt here to do what they like to do and my protection of the Subgenies Church. So, looking through the papers, Mike, how's our time? Are we out of time?
Oh, we're well over time, but I just...
waiting for the calls.
You have had some calls.
I think that the fact that our budget's been cut and we're cut back to half an hour, people said...
cut our budget.
Who did?
Yeah.
Mike McDonough.
He's saying he's got a lot of responsibility. He knows how to handle a budget, so if he cut it,
Yeah. I accept whatever Mike does. He is a manager. He has that kind of astrological sign, and I accept it. It has nothing to do with my work.
Are we going to talk about Mike's personal life?
No. We don't talk about Mike's personal life. We do have a call.
Can we go to the call right now, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, call.
Hello?
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
Turn it up.
Oh.
I can't hear you through my receiver.
You have to listen to the radio.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting. Bob, I always wondered about, you keep mentioning the Secret Council of Ten, and the date, like, February or March, 88, always comes up, and you mentioned tonight that that's when the Exus landed, and I'm wondering if you can, explain more about the Secret Council of Ten and what your actual role there is and how you actually got in.
Did you listen to my show in early 88?
No.
Okay, so you don't know what happened.
No.
Yeah, we've been on this campaign for over 2 years now. It started with Mike. It surfaced in June 87, June 17th. And 17 is an important number, and the press release put out by Bob Marshall on the AIDS thing, which you will be listening to Sunday morning, I grant, or will you be listening tonight on Kent's show?
Mm-hmm.
You do want to hear what this man has to say about AIDS. The press release was released on September 17th, you know, 17, note that number. Not as important as 22. But so he surfaced in June 17th, 1987, indicating to Mike that I had to become chairman of Secret Council 10, which I had been on for over 22 years, which would go back to 1965, right? Since I'm in my 60s now, what happened is that I was able to make a lot of money illegally during World War II behind the scenes. You know the movie Catch-22 and the novel Catch-22?
Mm-hmm.
That's based on one of the characters, Miles Milos, is based on me. I think that's, I can't remember his name. It's based on, if you saw the movie, he's a blonde Aryan-looking kind of guy. Looks like a handsome Nazi. You know that?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, that's what I look like. And the book, of course, is a variation of that. But the movie celebrated my making a lot of money. And, of course, I had to make a lot of money to infiltrate into the highest realms of power, which do not use money. All right? They use information control. They're the information elite. But it's not information that you hear or perceive in the regular media. It is intelligence information, historical information, technological information that goes back centuries. All right? So once I was able to infiltrate that Secret Council 10 and work with them and for them and do a lot of good things and a lot of terrible things, which was necessary to match and make and juggle my karma in that situation. That was in the 50s and 60s. So in the early 80s, there were several coups, and I was able to maneuver Gorbachev into power, into the Soviet Empire in the middle 80s, and that enabled, he is my agent, enabled me to get the necessary political and intelligence clout to influence the election. The election was held on February 24th, 1988, after I'd been on the air at CKLN as Bob Dobbs for, 8 months, all right?
Okay.
Follow that? And I was able to rig the vote by having listeners call in at the secret phone number and trigger the computer and upset the voting pre-calculations of the original members of the Secret Council of 10, which consists of 10 people. Two of the people on the council were Prince Charles and Prince Turnin Taxis, also Mr. Romanov of Russia, all right?
Okay.
Anyways, I won that election. It was announced the week after, I think it was March 3rd, 1988, here on CKLM, and then I was in full charge of the Secret Council 10, and slack would pour out onto the planet.
So why did it stay out of other media?
Well, because they are pink-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only medium that you will experience, Bob, and it's the most advanced form of experience in the discarnate state of electric conditions, which you're feeling right now. We are everywhere. This is being broadcast to many dimensions on satellite and astral satellite, so to speak. And the Exus came. If you've ever looked at the book of the Subgenius, you know that Bob Dobbs, his role as promoted in that shoddy book, was to save the Subgenius from the terror and devastation that the Exus would unleash unknowingly on this planet.
Yeah, but that wasn't until 1998.
Yeah, well, what happened, the book did not know the knowledge of Marshall McLuhan. All right? Reverend Stang did not know that. He wasn't familiar with the fact that we lived 200 years every 12 months. So his calculations were off. And actually, the only subconscious reason he picked that date, July 5th, 1998, was that that was 22 years to the day after my father passed away. And my father looks exactly like the cover of the image of Bob Dobbs you see around town and on the cover of the book. It may sound funny, but it's true. But that's slack, you know. Truth is insight,
right.
And truth is humor. excuse me, Mike. I'll only excuse that for Mike, not the rest. I think we needed that little input. The point is, what was your question?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, the Exus, right. No, really, dude. Now, here's the Exus. Now, the Exus then arrived a lot earlier. The 1998 phenomenon happened in early 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And
where?
In Mongolia, they landed.
Okay.
And you remember that. You will hear things in history over the next 8 years. You will hear something happen very important in Mongolia around that time and this time.
So we get pink news media about UFOs all the time. I mean, like, what about all those, near, was it, like, right near Moscow, they found this, you know, huge crater, and it was burned into the ground, and it was perfectly... You know, perfectly circular.
Oh, man.
And they said it was burning hay, and the same thing just happened in England.
That's right. Now you're smart, man. You're picking up on what I'm talking about. Remember this date, June 2nd, 1989. The Inquirer is picking up, rumors and spin-offs of what happened. in Mongolia. Okay. I didn't know anybody would know that. That's pretty clever of you to bring that point up. I mean, you should. It's good to monitor those papers because they do spread out on a certain level information that the Globe and Mail and the establishment press would not, the pink press would not reveal, right?
Yeah, especially about Elvis being a god.
Being who?
A god. Well, worshipped as a god, like as a figurehead.
Well,
like constantly.
Well, that's, who says that?
These papers, like, I think it was the World Weekly Sun, or, no, the World Weekly News.
Yeah.
The National Sun, whatever
Well.
They were proclaiming him as a god in some future year.
Well, that's...
But anyway, back to the original thing about the UFOs landing.
Just one thing about Elvis. Check out the perfect pitch chart on page 147 of the book High Weirdness by Mail, and you'll see where Elvis is placed on that chart, and you'll understand why he's a god. Go ahead.
Check out the chart?
Yeah, on page 147 of the book put up by Reverend Stang called High Weirdness by Mail.
Okay.
You'll see a chart produced by my colleague, Bob Marshall.
Okay.
All right, so what's the next point?
The next point is, so these UFOs landing.
Yeah.
So why are they allowed to land it without pink media really picking up on it? Like, you know, your daily paper, why isn't it saying, well, these things actually happened? And why is the government trying to cover it up so badly?
Well, like as the book, the subject book shows, this extraterrestrial contact, and it's the first in many hundreds of years, is not a pink operation. It is a subgenius operation. You know, it's something that only subgeniuses will understand the significance of, and something that the pinks will fear. So they're not going to talk about it. Though, with Gorbachev on my side, I think it's interesting that it happened near his territory. And so there is a chance that the pinks will not be able to cover up this forever.
No.
So your question was why? I think it's obvious why it would not be presented. This is quite shocking that Bob's teammates would show up here at the time he said they would. That's the important point.
Yeah.
Since March 88, the world has changed. Did you hear the Exus tape we just played earlier on the Tetrad?
Yeah.
All right. Did you notice they said the phrase, much has happened in Russia in the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
The last 18 months is pretty well around the time I started to raise up the specter of the Secret Council 10 election. This world is going through profound paradigm, cultural, perceptual, and physical shifts. Check fusion energy earlier this year, in the past 18 months, which relate to what I'm talking about. You are privileged to be living in Toronto to hear. You are going to be glad, despite all the terror and panic and pain that happens around here in your lifetime, you're going to be glad that you were born in this life to experience me.